Good evening, everybody. ערב טוב. והיה כי תבוא אל הארץ אשר השם אלוקיך נותן לך נחלה. And when you come to the land that God gave you as a נחלה, וירשתה, you will inherit it and will sit in it. And ולקחת מראשית בריאה עד הכל בריאה אדמה. We're talking about מצוות ביקורים. What is the idea of מצוות ביקורים? The idea of מצוות ביקורים is to give God the first fruit. Now, giving God the first fruit and bring it to the temple, this is what it was years ago. Today we've got no temple, and there is no meaning to the mitzvah if we understand it in the simple way, which, as always we say, that is not the idea. The idea is behind the words, is to understand what is the meaning. What's the deepness of the idea of mitzvat bikurim? Mitzvat bikurim is called the first thing. There are a few things that are called first, and one of them is bikurim, which means that they are very important. They are the first thing you do, the first thing, most important thing. So what is so important about mitzvat bikurim? We talked about it a lot in the past. The idea in bikurim is that I bring God the first thing, and we're not talking just about the first thing, we're talking about things that we love, that we care about. And we talk about the tree. What is the tree? To get to the moment, to get the fruit from the tree, it takes years. Years of devotion, of treatment. You put a seed in the earth, it takes time. And then, after a few years, you get those fruits from the tree. And of course, the first thing you want to do is
eat it.
You want to eat it. But a Jew stops, says, no. This is the first fruit is for God, which is showing our love in the greatest sense of the word love. And this, before we go on, what is the meaning of love? What is the difference of worshiping God normally? Like, I do what He tells me to do. So what's the problem with it? What is so important to worship God from love? To do all the mitzvahs from love. So this week, Parsha, I wrote about Torah that is around the story, a true story, that happened last week. I'm not going to give names because they asked me not to give names. So the story is from one side unbelievable, from the other side, I think that a lot of us will do the same. So this lady went to look after her grandchild in one of the yeshuvim, and they were living in a private house, like, and she went with this baby, small child, on the porch on the second floor, and they were standing there enjoying the view and playing, and then she wanted to go in. Unfortunately, she couldn't. The door was locked and couldn't be opened from the outside. And she is stuck in the middle of the day, a hot day, no water, no phone, because the phone was inside. She didn't take it with her to the porch.
With the baby.
With the baby. She's alone with the baby, no water. And even to shout, nobody's going to hear you, because the house was a private house by itself. And time passes by, nobody comes, and you start to be thirsty, and the baby... And she's afraid that if she doesn't do something quickly, the baby will dehydrate, and who knows how it can end. So she decides to climb over the fence, over the ma'ake, how do you say? And she goes on the...
Ledge.
On the re'afim, how do you say the re'afim? On the tiles of the roof. On the roof. To the pergola. We had a pergola there. In order to find the soft spot, she can jump down on the grass. Now it's quite high.
Second.
And she's not exactly
a 12 year old
spring chicken. She jumps.
She left the baby there.
What do you want her to do?
She couldn't take the baby.
She jumped and she broke her hip. And with all the pain, she crawls into the house, crawls to the second floor, opens the door, gives the baby a drink of water, and only then calls her husband to tell him to come as quickly as possible. took her to the hospital. She broke a few she had a few thing in the hip, and she is now in rehab. How do you say it?
Rehabilitation.
Rehabilitation. And we wish her all refuah shlema very quickly. Now, when you hear the story, it sounds like, wow, it's unbelievable, you know. But this is exactly the idea of love. When you love somebody, you don't do only what you have to do. You do much more than this. And sometimes even if you risk your life. And Am Yisrael, through the generation, showed God his love in many ways. And this is one of the things that can help us on Rosh Hashanah. If we show God love, and this is exactly the idea of Bikurim. What is Bikurim? Bikurim is to bring the first thing, you know, you bring a child something that he loves a lot, like a sweet. The normal thing was that he'll take the sweet and eat it. And imagine to yourself, you bring your grandchild a sweet, and instead of eating it, he says, no, first of all you. You got this feeling, this is an unbelievable feeling. So this is exactly what we should do now before Rosh Hashanah. To give God the feeling that we love Him. How do you do this? It's when you wake up in the morning, you say, Modeh ani lefanecha, that's the first thing you do. So first of all, in your mind, you have to have God in your mind. The first thing. One of the also very important things is not to lose the reason that we do things. The mission. What is the mission? Some, you know, people talk with us with on Yetzer Hara all the time, that we get to a level that we think that our mission in life is fighting Yetzer Hara. Is that this is our mission? So what is our mission?
To
keep the mitzvahs. In other words, Yetzer Hara fighting with him is a mean to get to keep the mitzvah. That is not the mission. So don't forget this. Don't forget, why do we do what we do? What are we doing in this world? You know, in Petach Tikva, I told you a few times, there is what you call a big white elephant. You know what a big white elephant is? It's when you build something and there's nothing to do with it.
Right.
In the middle of town, in the center, till today, by the way, and I'm talking about, I think, at least 40 years ago. They built this canyon, this small mall, in the middle, like one of the best plots in town. And it was standing there, no shops, nothing. Nobody wanted to go in. And really, in the beginning, we couldn't understand it. You know, all this money spent on this place, and nobody wanted to go in. But then you realize there were so many problems. It wasn't built properly for the purpose that it was built for. Now, they were thinking about glorifying themselves maybe, and they didn't forget for a minute why they did what they do, why they built this building. It wasn't to show everybody, wow, look what a beautiful building. It was in order to shops going in and people buying and making profit. But instead, nobody wanted to go in. Because they had steps going in a very strange way, and the lift were no good, and so many problems that they didn't think about. Today they have a few. I don't know if you know Petach Tikva, but it's like near the clock in the middle of town, what you call Kikara Sha'on or Kikara Miuashim, whatever it is. And there you have this. Today don't see it. That doesn't look so beautiful as it used to look, but still it looks. Today, neglected. It's like nearby. Like, it doesn't look good. I don't know why. But it doesn't look good. It never, ever looked good. And this is what happens if you forget the purpose of what you do. And instead, you're dealing with side things that are not going to bring you anywhere. In the same spot, by the way, in this place, somebody of our customers, accountant, a big office, he moved there. He was one of the first one, and I think he got a very good deal because nobody wanted to go there. The funny thing is, all the years he used to buy all his furniture from us. But then he says, no, I took a decorator and an architect, and everything is being made specially for us. We're going to buy only the chairs from you. I said, okay, parnosa from God, you know. Then, after all was finished, and he bought the chairs, didn't take long. He came to me. He needs about, I don't know how many, like 20 or 30 units, drawer units. I says, why do you need drawers? What, you had this beautiful office being made, but didn't put any drawers in the office? He says, no, we put drawers. No problem. The problem is where we put the drawers. Now, what did he do? For example, you have the wall. And let's say this is the wall. And he wanted to save space and that it will look nice. So this is the desktop. Where did he put the drawers? Here. So it means when I sit here, the drawers are here. So the first drawer on top, I can open it and close it, but I cannot use it. I can't put anything in it. The second floor, the second is you have to bend like this and go in. In other words,
this is an architect.
Yeah, that's an architect. By the way, it happens a lot. Don't worry. You know, I see in my life a lot of things happening like this. Because you see, the problem is, this architect, what was he thinking about? About the beauty of the pool. He wanted everybody to know, I designed this.
He's an architect, huh?
I hope that it doesn't work like this.
No.
But you see, this is exactly the point. You know, my father always had arguments with people that had a lot of knowledge but no practice. And you know, thinking, I do this, I do that, but practice, sometimes you cannot do this. And a good architect, he knows what he wants it to look, but he also knows who is going to use it and what's the best way to do it so he can use it in the best
function of the function.
Of course, otherwise, we don't need you. So, I always remember this thing because, you know, they did all this beautiful office. They took art. They didn't buy stuff from me. But then they had to buy the drawers from me because this guy put the drawers in a place where nobody can use them. And this is exactly the thing in life. You have to remember what am I doing in this world? What is the purpose? And don't forget it for a minute. So, example, if we think that we're here to fight Yetzer Hara, wrong. We're here to get closer to God as close as we can, and this is doing with love. And how do we do this? We have to fight with Yetzer Hara in order to do it. But that's not the mission. Don't forget for a minute. The mission is not fighting Yetzer Hara. So when we are bringing God the first thing of what we do, when we understand that God is the first thing we have to think in everything we do, our life will look different. And this is also, especially now, showing God that we love Him. Now, it's a very interesting thing. When in Bikurim, the guy tells God in Pasuk, I think Tetvav. Pasuk 15.
Yeah, Tetvav.
Ashkifa. You got it?
Tetvav.
What is Ashkifa Mimon Kodshecha? What is Ashkifa?
To look at.
Ashkifa Mimon Kodshecha Min Hashamayim. Look down to us from heaven and bless your people at Am Yisrael, Veta Adama, and the land that you gave us, etc. Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash. Now, it's very interesting, the use of the phrase Ashkifa. Because you can say, look, Tistakel, Tidbonen, Re'eh, which we...
More observed.
Ashkifa is also, when we go back to Sefer Bereshit, Ashkifa is not exactly a good thing. The angels, Vayashkifu al Sdom. The same phrase is used when they look at Sdom, which means, and Rashi at the spot, by the way, here, doesn't say anything. Sometimes very interesting. In order to understand what you've got here, you have to look
back there.
And there Rashi writes a very interesting thing. He says, in every place, Ashkifa is a bad thing. Only one place, it is a good thing, and it is in our parsha. Why?
Why
is it used in our parsha, and it's good.
Yeah. Why in the other parsha are
it's bad?
Yeah.
Now what happened to this word that is normally used as a bad phrase, a negative thing, and here it's good.
Positive.
It's positive.
Because people were giving to gaze.
What is this guy who brings the Bikurim? What is he saying before? Let's see what is he saying, and we have the answer. When we go to Pasuk Yud Gimel Yud Bet 12, what is written in Pasuk 12? Ki techalel aser, when you finish giving the maaser from your staff, then venatata, and you will give to the Levi and to the ger, unto the orphans, unto the widow, in other words, when there is chesed and gvilut chasadim, you can even turn a verse that it used for in a negative way to a positive thing. And this is exactly what we have to do on Rosh Hashanah. It's Yom Hadin. Judgment. But we see here, also judgment is turned to mercy, to chesed. And it is in our power. And what are we required to do?
Chesed.
Love. Love your friends. We're talking here after... I don't want to talk politics, but you know, it happened yesterday. We went to election, second time, because of what? Because of hatred.
Because of?
Hate. And look at all what was happening during this campaign.
Also hate.
Everybody was
Lashonara.
Was talking badly on the other side. And if you go back, you know, they almost didn't talk about what they are really going to do. They just talk, he's wrong, he's right, he. But what are you here for?
No issues,
no nothing, only hatred. And we wake up the next morning and we're in the same situation as before.
And we got married.
Nobody learned the lesson. And they're going on in the same, and which is
incredible.
This is exactly what we're talking about.
But why aren't the from Jews voting? Why didn't they?
By the way, they voted and they got a lot of power, but it doesn't help. Because we know that not Shas and not Gimel are going to go with the non-religious that don't want to know anything about religion. So they are going to be going with Bibi Netanyahu, which hasn't got the power right now to do a government. So maybe they will have a big government and then they can even do it without the religion. So again, the religious party had maybe a lot of power, but it's no power, which is also an unbelievable thing. But at least they got the power.
But so many Arabs.
Why? Because they went to war. You have to understand, you live in a country which a big percentage of that country is Arabs. And we, in our stupidity, we give them all the rights, they can vote, they can do everything, and that's what you've got.
I wanted to add something that I told Yosef today, that since the Paro, each time that the Yehudim want to be like a nation, like the others, God say no.
Yeah.
And this is happening again.
It's happening all the time.
No, but more in the Holocaust and in Paro, and now
when you live in a country, they said they want a
country without Shabbos, without Torah, without this, without that. God doesn't want this. What will happen? I am afraid, you know, because what can happen?
You have to trust in Hashem.
What will happen is what happened till now. Nothing. The point is that this is what we understand. This God showing us that we have a problem and we have to fix it. Now, how do we fix it? Well, how can I fix it? So first of all,
I have to love this guy who say that no religious part.
I want to talk about it in this minute because this week I gave a lecture to a group of youngsters about Zugiyut and thing, and we got to the point of love. And what does it mean, love? Now, God wants us to love who? Only the Jews? Only our friends? Or to love all the creation? So we cannot just say we don't understand what God wants from us, or we are not going to keep what God asks us to do.
Good creation.
God, 1 minute. The thing is, we have to make the definition between the man himself and what he does, or his opinions. And we must do this. It's not easy. It's not easy. It's very hard to take a guy that believes in all the, let's say, the bad things, and to love him and hate his opinion. Because normally when you hate his opinion, you hate him. But that's exactly the problem. We shouldn't hate him. We should hate his opinion. By the way, it doesn't mean that I'm not going to fight him, and it doesn't mean that I'm not going to kill him if I have to kill him. You have to understand. You have to make the difference. This is sometimes something very difficult to understand. Because, you see, sometimes a guy does something wrong. And the result is that you have to hurt him. But even when you hurt him, you still have to love the soul that is being given to him by God and do what you have to do. Because if we look at things this way, we're going to change the world. The problem is that normally we hate him and that's it. That's the problem. You have to understand. I know it's hard to understand, but that's like on Kabbalah, that's what you learn all the time. You have to understand it's not what we think. It's what God tells us to do. Because this world is not real. This world is a virtual world. It's not real. It's Alma de Shikra. It's all a big lie. It's like, imagine they're playing in a game and there are rules. The rules is the Torah. And the Torah tells you, you should love everybody. That's what the Torah is telling you. But the also Torah tells you, when you come to the country of Israel, what should you do the first thing?
To
kill all the enemies. The enemies in that city. How does it go together? How can you love somebody and kill him? Doesn't work together. It does if you understand the idea behind it.
You love the people, but then like what you do to me.
Yes, and sometimes because of what you do, I have to find a way to get rid of you. Because I can try and fix you. But if it doesn't work, what should I do? As we say, you're talking about Egypt. In Egypt, only 20% got out of Egypt. And if we look around us today, we're in the same situation. To get to a level that telling kids in school where we came from is adata, is forcing religion on them.
Yeah.
This is not only nonsense, this is stupidity in the highest level they can be. But that's what they say all the time. It gets to a level that this guy goes to election, which his campaign is, I hate the religion. And he got the votes.
And there's 80 professors from the universities who wrote to the public to vote to the Arabs. Professor from the university, okay. Tel Aviv,
so as we say,
I have to love them?
Again. This is exactly the problem. I'm saying I'm not going to change the world. But I'm trying to tell you what God wants us to do. Not everything that God wants us to do is for us easy to do. But that is our mission. Our mission is to spread love and not hatred. Do you agree with this?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so we agree on something. The problem is the other side. But we are people of peace. We are people of love. And we cannot ruin this. If we start to base our life on hatred, look what happens. You don't have to look far. Look around you today. Look what happens. So I'm not going to tell you what to do and how to do, because it's really, it's a difficult mission. But make, when you think about this idea, make it in your mind to understand that there is a separation between the human being that is being created in the image of God to what he does. And if he does wrong, if somebody gets to a level of Russia, you have to hate him. But you have to understand it. Till this moment, to that moment, you have to love him. Only if he gets to the definition of Russia. Now, what is the definition? I'm not going to go into it. Because it's quite complicated.
Somebody.
What did the Gemara says? Itamu chataim in haaretz, says the Torah. What's chataim? Not chotim. Not the sinners, the sin. The sins will go away from the land, but not the sinners. And it's very clear.
Okay. They will.
But the other
will
hate us.
There will not be any more sinners.
The other hate us. Yes,
I have. They hate us because we don't do our job. I talked about it in the past also.
I have a granddaughter, 8 years. She was in at the school with friends from 8 years. And one said, Masi Datim. No, another said, Datim hem anashim re'aim.
Who said
that? My granddaughter in school, 8
listen,
years.
She
was talking with friends. And
she's in a philosophy school.
From Diria. And then she said, Lo nachon, ani yesh li ben dot im arba banim, akol hem im tzitzit hem datim, vehem lo chayim. Ze sheli amra.
Eight years.
What a girl from 8 years said that team are anashimra.
We just now talked about it.
She listened at home.
That everything is based on hatred, and that's our problem. That's what we're talking now about, love.
All the
because if you think you can fight, you can fight hatred with hatred. What we're going to do? We're going to destroy the world. That's what's going to happen. And again, I'm saying we have to have it very clear. It's not easy. And it doesn't have anything to do for sometimes also people of peace. What does it mean peace? Shalom Achshav. What do they really for standing for peace? Because sometimes for peace you go to war. No, the Torah that talks about love and peace talks also about wars.
I think most of we were never faced a war here in Israel, a real war.
No, during, yes.
Not a real war with you were in Yom Kippur here?
No.
So,
Lebanon.
Okay, Lebanon was not there. They didn't.
The Gulf War?
They didn't come here.
Gulf War, yes.
Anyway,
you
are born here. I ask you a question.
Yes.
When all the people are united in the war, unfortunately, or not?
Yeah.
Yes.
There is no Chiloni, Dati, Smolani. Everyone.
I talked about it last week.
So
when I go to Shanghai,
Hashem will send us another war.
When I go to Shanghai and I meet Jews there from all over the world, including from Israel, and we all came for the same reason, for our exhibition.
I listen to you.
And we're all friends, and when we come here.
You are enemies.
But let's look at the Haredim, how much hatred there is between the different sects. The sects now, Gafni and the other one, what's his name? Nigal HaTorah. The other day I heard a lecture from Rav Lau and Yochi Brandis. She said their great grandfathers were at war with each other. They were ready to kill each other over religion.
So let's not say that it's only Jew and Arab. It's Jew and Jew.
That's what it is. That I say.
That's what we say.
No, but I'm saying, but the.
That's what we say. But this is what we're saying. What's happening now is between Jews.
Yeah, but most of the hatred was chiloni and dati.
Which is Jew?
Dati.
It doesn't matter.
Even the dati.
It doesn't matter. But the thing, the point is. That again, we forget our mission and what we're doing here. What is our mission in life? To worship God or not? That's the first thing we have to understand. Because if we take God out of the of our life,
we
got nothing. So first of all, we have to put God back. So all those who want God out, first of all, we have to make sure that God is not out, He's in. Then we have to look about all, everybody. Everybody's fighting with each other. It's not a new thing, unfortunately. And by the way, this is the when you, and we talk about it a lot of times, this is when you call yourself a Haredi, it doesn't make you Haredi. Yeah. You can call yourself a lot of names. You can also dress as one of them. But in the inside for you is rotten, you've got nothing. And this is exactly the point. The point is that we, first of all, we have to understand what are we doing here. Not waste of our life to fight with Yetzer Hara instead of doing mitzvahs, if you understand what I mean. Because it's to do. We're here to do. To do good. And we're here for a limited time. It's like, you know, talking about going to exhibition. You go to exhibition on the other side of the world, you spend a lot of money, takes you a lot of hours. The exhibition is for, let's say, for 3-4 days. Now imagine yourself, after all the efforts you put into it, when you get there, you go to the hotel to sleep. And the next morning, you have a party with your friends. Okay. Sounds good?
Yeah.
Why did you come there? To have a party with your friends? To sleep in the hotel? Or for business? For the exhibition?
Business.
And what do we do? What did we come here for? So instead, we're enjoying life. We go to sleep, we play with the friends, instead of doing mitzvahs. Instead of collecting and going through the exhibition and find our parnosa, doing business with God. Instead of doing business, and we have to understand, the exhibition, when it's finished, it's finished. And if you didn't go, it's like, always remember this story with the guy. It's like a similar story. He spent a lot of money and he got to the exhibition and he's very tired. He goes to sleep. The next morning, he wakes up very, very late. He says, "Look, it's no use for me to go to the exhibition. I will stay around, have a good lunch, and then in the evening he meets with friends, and the next morning he's again tired. He goes on the way, he meets another friend, and another friend, and another friend. And then he decides that the next day, he's going to be the first one in the exhibition.
It's closer than finished.
And the exhibition is finished. But that's exactly the idea. This place is an exhibition. It's a yarid, how they say. It's you come here from a limited time and you have to do business. Our business is doing mitzvahs as much as we can in the limited time we've got. Unfortunately, sometimes we go to sleep, talk with friends, and do all the other things and not what we're here for. So the idea of Bikurim is to put it in our head that before we do anything, what is the first thing? Would God want us to do this or not? I'm not saying that we are saints, that we're going to be tzaddikim the next morning, but what I'm saying is, at least put God in your mind when you do something. And this is what God wants us. Especially now in this time. He's opening his arms to hug us. And the only thing we have to do is to show him that we want to hug him back. How do we do this? What did we say right now? Do mitzvahs, chesed, milut chasadim. You can change judgment into mercy. Ashkifa mimon kol shecha. That's what he's saying, the guy who brings bikurim. It's unbelievable. To change the thing upside down. And the Torah is not using words just like this. We all know it. So when the Torah is telling you Ashkifa, the Torah means, you want to change midat hadin? You're standing before Rosh Hashanah. You want to change the din? What do you do? Chesed. Olam chesed yibane. The world is built on chesed, not on haters, not on sin'ah, not on wars. Nobody said it's easy. But we have to try and find the right way, how to do it in the best way we can. And this is the idea of Mitzvah Bikurim.
What about all these klalot? You read, you get a shock because there are more words than the others that was written in. I know they say there are opinions. They say this is not really klalot, this is brachot. But
no, one of the versions is that you see only the klalot, don't see the brachot. There are brachot. But when you're talking about Harek, Grizim, and Hareval, they're talking also about Arur, 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 then it's not Baruch. So, first of all, one of the answers, by the way, is that in this world, we're going to get rewarded the next world. So we don't see it now. But the real truth is that what he's telling you really, don't do this and you're blessed. Arur, Mishelo Yase. Arur is the one who does this. Arur is the one who does. So what do you have to do?
What's Arur?
Don't do it and you're already blessed. That's what the Torah is telling you.
What's
very
Arur?
Clearly. Curse.
Ah,
curse is the one who's going to do this. Curse is the one who's doing it. So don't do and you blessed.
Okay.
That's what the Torah is telling you.
Saying I'm Israel. It's not saying Yosef, Gadi, they are all the people. I'm Israel, and when you look in your side and you see that they are not doing, and the other side they are opposite. They
you
are doing what you
do. You don't need to see what the other do. Only what you do.
Like you told me this day, then you are a Don Quixote de la Mancha,
yes.
Fighting the.
Then we can go on. We have really so many curses in our parsha. And, but one of the unbelievable thing is, then we look through. You see, for so many curses, I cannot even find what I want to find.
It's terrible.
What do you want to find?
Tachat asher lo ahavta et Hashem Elokecha
b'simcha.
Ah, this is the end of the
yes.
The end. Say in the end of the courses.
What's the top of that? Maybe it's just top of that. I the last one. Maybe Sasha has been all the curses. No, by any. It's a big one.
Here.
Tachat Asher. It's not in the end, it's in the middle.
In the middle. Okay. Mem Zayin.
Mem Zayin is it? 46.
Yes, Mem Zayin.
Tachat Asher lo avat Hashem Elokecha besimcha u'tov levav merov kol.
Mem Zayin.
Got it?
You know where is Mem Zayin? A mamzer. Mem Zayin.
Tachat, yes. Of course, you got to pasuk. Look, we have a whole list of curses.
Mem Zayin.
And then comes this. That from this we learn that even if you do everything, what is the Torah telling you? Why are you going to be cursed? Tachat asher lo avadeta et Hashem Elokecha v'simcha. Because you didn't work God, worship God with joy, with happiness. It's, what did we say in the beginning? What's the difference between worshiping God like I do what I have to do, or doing it from love? And that's exactly also the same thing. The Torah is telling us something very clear. If you worship God and you do it without simcha, without joy, you're going to be cursed. And this is very strange. What does it mean? I'm going to keep all the mitzvahs, and I'm going to do it because I have to do them. I'm not going to be happy about it, and I'm going to be cursed. I'm going to be cursed because of it? Yes. Because if you realize what you're doing and why you're doing it, you should be happy. It's like a lot of things in life. Sometimes we have very difficult times, but we know what's waiting for us at the end of it is very good. That's if I tell you to build a building, and every stone you put on the building, you're getting $1,000. What are you going to do?
To build.
You're going to build. It's going to be hard, and sometimes even painful. But you are going to be sad or happy?
Happy.
Why? But it hurts you. It's very hard.
No gain.
But it's $1,000. Each stone. Mm-hmm. Each brick is $1,000. One brick, $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000. Wow. God is telling you. Every mitzvah you do here, you get $1,000,000. Now, should you be happy or not? Happy. Even if it's hard, should you be happy or not? Are you? Are you? If you're not, you're going to be cursed. You're doing nothing. Because if you're not, you don't believe. If you understand and realize that every obstacle in this life, you are going to be rewarded with no limits, should you be happy when there is an obstacle?
But now comes the fighting negative Yetzirah Ra.
Of course, because Yetzirah Ra tells you there's nothing.
Allow us.
That's Amalek. We talked about him last week. That's Amalek last week.
Even if we want to be happy, the Yetzirah Ra say no.
So what you have to do?
No, I need to fight the Yetzirah Ra. No, but you said not to fight. It's not our mission to fight.
No.
Our mission is to
Our mission is to worship God with love. But in order to get to this mission,
you have to fight
the Yetzirah. We have to fight Yetzirah Ra. In other words, Yetzirah Ra is the mean to get to the task, get to the purpose. The purpose is not fighting Yetzirah Ra.
No.
That's not the purpose. And that's exactly the point. You see, what you're saying
is
here is exactly what we talked about. Sometimes we're so muddled up that we think that our mission in life is to fight Yetzirah Ra. But that's not the mission. Because if you think like this, you'll never be happy.
It's only the means to an end.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's the mean to get to the purpose. The purpose is to be happy with worshipping God. But Yetzirah Ra comes and tells you, happy? Why can't you be happy? Look at this, there is nothing there, there is there, like that. What? You're finished. You have to fight it. Because you understand and realize. You have to understand and realize that this world is a beautiful world. So, people are afraid of Rosh Hashanah.
Because there's a work.
But you should think about it as a present.
Yes, it's work.
A present?
Work.
But you should really think about Rosh Hashanah as a big present.
Of course.
It is, thank God.
Look at this. God tells you, you should worship me, you do this and that. You didn't do it. So come God, our Father in heaven tells you, no problem. I'm giving you a chance to start again. I'm going to redeem you. Whatever you did,
forget.
I'm going to forget it. This is unbelievable. We have to say thank you to God a million times. And be happy that Rosh Hashanah comes. Sometimes it's a heavy feeling. But we have to think about it and change this heavy feeling to an uplifting feeling.
Sure.
Because this is our Father in heaven. He tells us, you know, I know you haven't been 100%. So I'm giving you a chance. You know, somebody does wrong. In normal life, you did wrong, that's it, finished. God is telling you, no, don't worry. Do tshuva, you didn't do anything. If somebody does tshuva from Ahava, not only didn't do anything, he is going to get rewarded for the sin he did. Do you understand this? Why? Because he turned the sin to a mitzvah. How do you turn a sin to a mitzvah? When you come back to God with love. And you have to understand, this is a crucial point. Because think about it. I can understand that God forgives me on a sin I did. But it's very hard to understand that God takes the sin and turns it into a mitzvah. So, let's do a lot of sins. And Rosh Hashanah turn them to mitzvahs. No? That's a good thing, no? Let's enjoy life. Do everything we want.
Come Rosh Hashanah.
Come Rosh Hashanah. Plop, we turn it into a mitzvah. So, more sins I have, more mitzvahs I have now.
It doesn't work.
Like but it doesn't work like this. Because to come back to God... For David HaMelech, exactly, for David HaMelech. But the idea is... What is the idea? The idea is that the power of tshuva has got a few levels. There is tshuva meira. I go back to God because I fear of the punishment. Okay, or I fear God, whatever. In order to understand it, we have to understand again, what is our mission in life? Our mission in life is to get as close to God as we can. And how do we do this? With love. Now, if we are far away from God, and something makes us get closer to God, is it a mitzvah or a sin?
Mitzvah.
That's exactly the point.
But?
Because the sin made you do tshuva, and now you're closer than God than before. Otherwise, if you wouldn't have done the sin, you wouldn't have got closer to God as you got now. It's unbelievable. Because the thing... you cannot work like this. I tell you what. I tell you the problem. There is a problem. It's not so easy. We think about it. It's not so easy. Because, you know, sometimes when you do a sin, and you do it again, and you do it again, it's very hard to go back. So don't try this system. It works only for tzaddikim, and tzaddikim are not going to do it anyway.
No, there is
so
another
the
problem.
Idea here, but the idea is unbelievable.
There is the angel that will come and say, just a minute, Hashem, this guy who did this sin and this sin and this sin and this sin and this sin. And then Hashem will...
There is a very simple thing in the Allah. It says, those who say, echtava ashuv, says, I'm going to sin and do tshuva, going to sin and do tshuva, they don't let him do tshuva. See, it's not a system. You have to understand, there is a privilege. But don't abuse it. God tells you an unbelievable thing. He says, if you will do tshuva from love, it means that I got what I wanted you to do. You're loving me and you do the right thing. Why do you do this? Because of the sin you did. So the sin is a mitzvah. It's not a sin. It's very difficult to understand. But don't try, as I say again.
It's not like a child that he give a patch now, not the child, and he said, Lo bekavana. Lo bekavana. Slicha.
Yes.
No, he did tshuva. He did that.
The tshuva, why did he do it? Did he do it because he's afraid you're going to hit him because of what he did? Or if he's doing it because he loves you? That's the difference. You see, because what God wants us to love Him. In other words, sometimes...
If the child will do because he's afraid that you will punish him, it's only
that's
fear.
Not, that's only
but
fear.
If
so,
he say, wow, now my mother will be upset and she will be crying because of me, and then he makes tshuva, then it's for love. It's a different. Right?
It's like a lot of things in life, we don't see what's going to happen the next thing. And we think it's bad and it's no good. For example, if somebody has to get to a certain place and his good friend locks him in a room that he cannot get there. Locks him in the room.
On purpose.
On purpose. Now, is this guy going to hate him or love him? The minute he goes out and he releases him after a certain period of time, and this guy, all his life now, hates his friend. And he cannot believe that the friend he loved so much, and he thought that he loves him, did this terrible thing to him. Made him lose this big thing that he had in front of him, while he locked him in a certain place so he couldn't do it. Then, 20 years later, he found out that if he would have gone to this place at this certain time, he would have been killed. Now, is he going to love the guy or hate him?
Love
him. After 20 years of hatred. Because now he understands and realizes that what he did was from love. That's the way it is. We don't understand what God is doing to us sometimes. But then years later, we realize how stupid we were.
Why it happened.
Then we realize why it happened.
So then you're not allowed to hate. You've got to give everyone the benefit of the doubt.
This is exactly what we are supposed to do. This is what we work on. Emunah in God. Believe in God 100% that whatever God is doing to us is for our good and He does it for love.
There's a reason.
And there is a reason for everything. This is the way we should worship God. Because this is what God wants us. God wants us to love, to give. You know, the Rav Dessler writes in his book, Mikhtav Meliyahu, a lot of things. And one of the things he writes, who is a giver and who is a taker? So the normal thing what we say is, if somebody takes, he's a taker. If somebody gives, he's a giver. It's not true. Because sometimes you take because you want to give, and sometimes you give because you want to take. What does it mean? For example, sometimes I take, for example, very simple, I take money from somebody in order to help this poor guy and give him the money to build himself. So did I take or give?
Both. Both.
Am I a giver or a taker?
Giver.
Other side around.
You are Robin Hood.
When I go and give this guy something, but what I'm thinking about is, what can I get out of it? In other words, what I'm going to give him a present, because I know that now he's going to give me a much bigger present. So I gave or I take?
Take. You take?
I'm a taker. In other words, it's not the action itself. It's what is the purpose behind it. And again, we get to the purpose. That is what we have to think all the time. If God is the first thing we think about, so we are going to be givers. But if the first thing we think about is us, me, we are going to be takers. And the Bikuri Mitzvah is exactly the thing to show us the right way, to show us what it is to love. The first thing, and sometimes you worked on it and you did so much for it and you stop and you give it to God. First of all, God.
Your son. Your first son.
Hmm?
Your first son. The same thing.
Everything first you give to God.
The first animal who was born.
The first thought in the morning. Modani lefanecha. By the way, Modani lefanecha is very interesting. It says, Modani lefanecha melech ha-vikayam shechzarta bi nishmati bechemla rabba emunatecha. What is rabba emunatecha? What do I say?
A lot of emunah.
It's also chemla rabba.
Yeah, no, I'm saying emunah. What emunah do I talk about? My emunah? So it should be emunati. Rabba, emunati. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. A lot of my emunah.
It should be my emunah.
But you say
my trust.
What is
my belief.
No,
but I say emunatecha.
You everyone.
If you're Hashem.
Yesterday I read an unbelievable idea about it. Unbelievable. You know, sometimes in life, things are not going so well for us. And we get depressed. And even when we wake up in the morning, we're still depressed from the other day. And we say, another day, another problem. We have to listen to what we say. What is emunatecha? God is trusting us. In other words, God gave us the neshama back, trusting us that we can do the change. So if God is trusting us and He gave us the neshama back, what should we do now? We trust Him back and we show Him that we do. And also it's going to encourage us, because if God would think that we cannot do the change, would He give us back the neshama?
No.
No. He says, I've got enough of you. You're no good. I'm not going to give you the neshama. But God believes in you. Rabba emunatecha. Think about it. Thinking this way that God gave me back the neshama because, not because I trust him, because he trusts me that I can do the change. This is an unbelievable thought. No, I never ever thought about this way. You know, we say it every morning. Rabbi Emunatecha, Rabbi Emunatecha, Rabbi Emunatecha. But he says, why is Rabbi Emunatecha? I say, Rabbi Emunati. We think Rabbi Emunatecha, that our belief is great. But if it's our belief, why don't we say our belief? Emunati, Rabbi Emunati. Modeh, I can't have a question from you. Rabbi Emunati. No, Rabbi Emunatecha. Unbelievable. And with this, we end this lesson. The lesson is, if you understand how God loves you and believes in you, especially at that time, we have the power to change. God gave us the neshama back because he knows we can do this. We have to believe in ourselves because God believes in us and do the right things in the eyes of God. Even though sometimes you look around and it doesn't look so good. But we're here, we got the neshama back. And we understand that the first thought, the first thing that we do is Bikurim, God. And Bezrat Hashem, we will change the Midat Adin, the Midat HaRachamim.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.